Acts chapter 12. Every week we, actually almost every day, many of us receive a prayer request. It is something that comes to my phone as a text. It may come to you on email, may come to you on social media. I don't know how you get those. But I understand this. Sometimes we feel like, I've already got so many things going on. How could I possibly do that? You know, how am I going to work that into my time? You ever stop to think if it was your name? Your need? You say, well, I don't know that person. Okay. Is that important? What was important was the request. That's what's important every time about prayer. It's the request. There's just so many that need more than a person can handle. More than any man or woman, boy or girl, whatever, can ever do. It's the opportunity to simply, if you're still working, it's okay. I don't expect everybody to stop what they're doing and pull out your prayer rug and get down and bow to Mecca. But it would be nice if you could just, as you continue to work, just simply focus upon that person or upon that need. I don't remember their name. That's okay. God does. He doesn't have a, you know, he's not that person that forgets things, not like us. He's the one that remembers all the details, every hair on your head or lack thereof, or anything else that would go with that. But it's important. It's always important to remember that God hears, but he wants to know that his children take enough consideration for those that have needs also. You know, God not only shares in our sorrows, he not only shares when we're having a hard time or when we need special prayer because someone is sick, someone has passed away, someone, you know, is either deathly ill or, but he's right there during our joy. He's right there to celebrate with us as much as he's there to meet our needs when we're sorrowful. You know, he never laughs at us. He laughs with us. You know, I could see God. We've given him plenty of reason to laugh. I know you've made a blooper film before. I know I have. Fortunately it wasn't on film, or it wasn't something anybody could see, but there's been plenty of bloopers in this world. I had one this week, actually. It would have been a great one for somebody you guys can laugh about. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. I was finishing up a project that was extremely long, and it was hot, and I had one board. And that one board was going back to the supply house. Well, I put the board in the back of my truck with the tailgate up, and the board would stick out about like this. And I'm busy getting all my tools, getting everything done. I walked around the truck, and I turned right around and went, right there. As the blood ran down my nose, the outside of it, I thought, you moron. You just put it there. But, you know, the other thing that happens when you get old, you look down at the ground a lot. I don't know if that means because we're becoming pigs or what. I don't understand that one. But you look down because you don't want to trip. I know some people that have done that tripping part. You know, you don't want to trip over something, so you're kind of looking down where you're going. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. Now, Walter, you laughed about me hitting between the eyes. I'd hit you right in the Adam's apple. Wouldn't that have been a joy? Now, you wouldn't have forgotten that part. I will. But I know that we do this kind of, and I'm sure God has, I know he has a sense of humor. Look around you. That ought to tell you everything you ought to know about God's sense of humor right there. I think sometimes, though, when we talk about prayer, God is very serious about our prayers. Very serious, probably a whole lot more serious than we are sometimes, because we pray I think sometimes not expecting anything. Just expecting, well, I did my duty. Somebody asked me to pray, so I prayed. Do you think God's going to answer that prayer? What are your expectations? Or do you think that's going to be classified with all that number of unanswered prayers? God is saying to us, every one of us, hey, church, wake up. Are you listening, church? Are you paying attention, church? Are you going to listen to the things I say? Are you just going to keep on babbling out those prayers but never spending any time to listen to the answer? Oh, well, he doesn't answer me. They're just really willing. Well, maybe it's because of the lack of expectation that we have. Maybe you really don't think that God is so interested in what we're praying about. You know, he delights in surprising us. You realize that? A lot of times he will answer a prayer far beyond what our expectations were. Thank the Lord he does. Because we'd all be in a lot of trouble. I mean, it's way beyond the level that we expect him to do something. And when he does it, we become surprised. One particular man made this statement. He said, while I was praying, expecting very little, God already had done something great. So great, I had a hard time accepting the answer. You ever expected that? You ever thought, well, man, how did that happen? That's God. He does that all the time. In the book of Acts, it's a very intense book because it's about the life of all the apostles, about the early church, about what was going on in that day. Could you imagine if someone decided to write a book of Acts on Cornerstone? That's A-C-T-S, not A-X. Never mind. I might put an axe to it, I can tell you that right there. Okay. But Luke is writing, and he's telling us all of these things that are really, in a lot of ways, they're serious. They're things that just really, really have everything to do with how the church formed, the birth, how it took off, the expansion of the church. But it gets to chapter 12, and I think Luke had a good sense of humor. And I think he tells us a story about something that has a very humorous part to it. Beginning at verse number 1, we're going to see some things that he says in chapter 12 here this morning. He says, now about the time Herod the king, that's Herod Agrippa, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. We know James and John were the sons of thunder. You know, they became the sons of compassion, but they were the sons of thunder. And James was one of the leaders of the church, and Herod grabbed him up and said, I think it'd be a good thing to do. So he killed him. He killed him with the sword. And because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. In other words, a bunch of people, okay? That's four groups, you know, by four people. And so they had 16 soldiers right there to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. In other words, he set a date after this holy day had finished, this time of frame. He said, I'm just going to take Peter out and I'm going to do him in. I'm going to answer the prayer. I kind of like the way the Jews are responding to me again. My whole family's, everybody's happy. All things are going well. So therefore, he says, I'm just going to bring him out afterwards and I'll kill him also. This is what I'm going to do. This was the time frame that the church began to pray. They were praying diligently. They came together. They did everything. But the way that Luke writes this, the way that he sets it out, it seems to be kind of crazy to me. Because the church is not expecting anything. They're expecting that, he killed James, so he's going to kill Peter. It's going to happen. You know, we might as well get used to it. So I think we're just kind of pray that God will do something in Peter's life to give him strength, to stay with his convictions and to do all those things because, you know, it's going to be okay. Peter, you gave your life. You had a good life. What happens if that was your name? And that's the way the church prayed for you. If they just prayed a prayer like, give him the power, let him die with dignity, let him do this, let him, you know, let the person take all this kind of things. I don't know if I'd want you to pray that prayer for me. I want to be, get me out of here. That'd be the kind of prayer I'd want you to be praying for me in that. But Christians everywhere were being put in jail. Everywhere were they were being killed. The Romans killed a ton of Christians right there. But when the answer to the prayer that they were praying, when all of that was taking place, sometimes you just got to laugh. You have to laugh because just knowing that you might as well laugh, everybody else is laughing. They're probably laughing at you. I know they're laughing at me, so I might as well join in with the laughter. You know, it's always good to look at yourself that way at times. You know, see yourself not too important or not too special that you can't laugh at your blunders. And the church had to look at themselves because this is exactly what he began to laugh about. In verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, I don't know exactly what they said. I really don't. I wasn't there. I'm sure maybe DeWitt might be able to tell us about it. My mom would certainly tell us about it. You know, 99. Were you there during that time, DeWitt? Yeah. I need a translator, Mike. You share him on a. I just said, I mean, you know, it was a long time ago, so I was asking the elder statesman of the church if he was there. You know me. That's too much. My mom said she read all about it. It was in the daily newspaper when she was there. Yeah, written in stone on a stone tablet. Yeah, Fred Flintstone probably. Yeah. But what you ask, you said, well, why is God allowing Luke to point fun at the church? Why is the ineptness of the church being pushed out? Because it's true. And many times we need to look at ourselves as it is true. You know, we're just inept at times. You know, we wish we could always put forth the great thing, and we're great, we're doing this. We don't always communicate Christ's great power. We don't always exemplify his life. We don't always do. We're just human. And we do dumb things. Okay, I do dumb things. None of you have ever done anything dumb outside of coming here listening to me. Humor's a great way of looking at life. It's a joy. It's something that we all ought to talk about. But we've got a real situation. Peter's in jail. He's going to be killed. You find the church praying, but you don't know what they were praying for. Hey, church, are you listening? Do you know what you're praying for? Do you know how serious the matter truly is? I mean, hard times had fallen down on the church. They were being picked up all the time. Herod Agrippa decided that, you know, he'd take out John and take out James, I mean. He'd go ahead and kill him with a sword. John was next on the list. But that kind of persecution was coming over and over and over again. It could have been anybody at any time. It'd be like picking one of you out of the crowd and saying, okay, it's your turn to die. What kind of prayer would you expect us to pray for you? But it's kind of a funny thing in this regard. They took 16 men to guard one Simon Peter. Now, I know Simon Peter probably was a pretty good-sized guy, and he was a fisherman. He resourceful and doing all that stuff. But anything you read about him right here, all he did really well was sleep. You got 16 men sitting around, you know, guarding him, not going to do anything. I mean, humanly impossible for an escape. It just wasn't going to take place. So what kind of prayer would you make? What kind of prayer would you ask God to do? It's humanly impossible. He's not going to get away. What did they said? We need to pray. Lord, has it come to that? Do we really need to pray? I mean, how many times did God come through for them? How many times had he opened the doors of heaven? How many thousands of people had come to Christ since the beginning of the church. All of these things had taken place everywhere. They knew what Herod was going to do. It wasn't like it was anything new. They, you know, it's just Peter's turn. They're going to take him out this time. But they did not pray for a miraculous release. That's not what they prayed for. They just simply prayed that, hey, make him tough, do all these things, you know. How do you pray? What expectations do we really ask God for? She is really sick. It's very serious, and the doctor said she may not make it. So what do you pray? How do you formulate that prayer? Do you pray to go against what the doctor's saying? Are you afraid to pray and ask God to do something that you're afraid that, well, it may not be his will to do it? You know what it gives to me? It tells me that's why we don't have any bold prayers in church. We don't. Very few people pray with a boldness like they used to do it, with asking God. And I'm saying me too. I bought into that and said, well, maybe I'll be praying against God's will. Maybe God already knows what's going on, and maybe God already knows what you really want to say, and so why don't you just say it? I don't want to see them die. I want to see them live. How do you find those things out? Well, by spending a lot of time in prayer. You begin to know the heart of God. You begin to know exactly what he's saying right there. Not do I want Simon Peter to have the strength and the resolve to see it through to death. I want him delivered. I want him delivered. I want you to do something miraculous in his life to deliver him from the very things. But what was the prayer that they wanted to make? Well, it's another problem beyond my ability. I just got to face it. And I got to pray. I got to do my job. Listen to what he says on in verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Obviously, he was real worried. He's sound asleep between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. 16 men. And they weren't, you know, lightweights. They were soldiers. Back when soldiers had to be real soldiers. I can't get into that today, but I'll have that one for you one day too. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Now, if a light shines in the prison, would you wake up? You put a light on in my bedroom, I don't care what time, I'm going to wake up. Ask Margaret. Her phone lights up all the time, day and night. And it's going to make me wake up. Doesn't make her wake up at all. She'll sleep right through, but I'll wake up. So the light shines in the prison. And this is the fun part about it. And he smote Peter on the side. Now that's King James language. I don't know if he slapped him upside the head or whatever. But Peter was probably snoring so loud he couldn't see or hear anything. He was probably first over there going, wake up, Trey. I need you to wake up, Trey. Were you snoring through that one too, Trey? Okay, probably I was. Wake up over there, John. Come on, John, wake up. And finally he said, bam, wake up! Me? You want me to wake up? Oh, yes, that's exactly what he wanted him to do. Wake up. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up. In other words, he grabbed him by the arm and pulled him up. I mean, now, when I'm sound asleep, that might be something you might need to try. Saying, arise up quickly. Well, that would be an answer to prayer right there. Some of you can't arise up quickly anytime. I know I can. It just, if I get up, I get, oh, man, oh, my back hurts. Everything hurts. But he says, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. There's a lot of miracles here going down. Not just one. Well, number one, an angel shows up. Was that the prayer of the church? Probably not. But it was God's will. It's what God wanted to happen. He said, I wanted him to get up. I want him to release him. Why are we so reluctant to pray that? Are you reluctant to pray that as because if it doesn't answer the way you think you are you going to be embarrassed because you prayed it? How many times you prayed for something and it didn't happen the way you wanted it done? All the time. Why is that? Because God is a whole lot smarter than me. We pray our hearts. God prays his sovereign will. Why is that so different? Because we don't always think the way God thinks. And probably the biggest reason, it's, hey, church, are you listening? Or are we still mumbling a prayer and never bothering to shut our mouths long enough to hear what God says? You know, God has an answer. But like that still, small voice he talks about, maybe the Spirit's not speaking on your wavelength because you won't be quiet long enough to hear him. And we really, truly need to hear him. That brings glory back to the Lord. And really, if we listen, that is the glory that comes back to him. You know, the prayer has been is glorified because we're even mentioning it because we're praying for it, but that shows God that we are actually paying attention to what we pray. Not just a name, not just a text on your phone, but you truly are seeking out him. What do we think? We just assume there's no answer. God's not listening. He's not talking to us today. So what happened when you prayed? What happened when he prayed? What happened to the church when they prayed the prayer for Simon Peter? I think they looked at it through the lens of what we look at it through, our very limited, narrow way of looking at things. This is the only way that God could have done it. Aren't you glad God's not limited the way you think? I am thankful that he's not limited the way I think. That'd be terrible. Well, you know, we prayed for James, and look what happened to him. Herod still killed him. So why should we pray for Peter to be released, knowing that Herod's going to do what Herod wants to do? When I was first a Christian, maybe been a Christian for, I don't know, maybe a year, if that long, probably 6 months, I remember a situation where a dear friend of ours, who was actually one of my coaches at the time, his mother was dying. And someone made the bold prediction that, nope, she's going to live. She's going to rise up, and she'll be just fine, and everything's going to be great. 2 days later, she dies. You know what happened? She literally rose up, and she's just fine. But that's not the way he thought it was going to happen. But he made such a bold prediction, like he knew what God was wanting, but it was because he didn't listen. That wasn't what God chose to do. God chose to glorify himself through taking one of his saints home. That's what he chose to do. Expectation is the crucial part of prayer. What we're praying for, what we're asking God to do. You know, everything is built on that right there. And it only comes, the insights and the guidance that you get in prayer, well, it only comes by what? Oh, by praying. By spending time asking that. I mean, we expect far too little from God all the time. And so we don't ask for it. And then God answers it in such a way that, you know, that we prayed about it. And then we're mad at God because he didn't do a bigger job. If you ask for something silly, silly little, and God gives you silly little and doesn't answer with flaming yawns and everything else, then why are you mad at God? That's why you ask for it. That's what we wanted out of God. We sought him out that way. How would you want to intercede for him? How would you want to me to be interceding for you? He said, will you pray for me? Will you do that? Okay, how do you want me to intercede for you? Well, I think the first thing you would like for me to do is to listen carefully. Ever anybody want to share something with you about prayer? And you're sitting there going, paying attention about like nothing. Sometimes like my granddaughter does when I'm telling her something. Do you listen? How strong is your prayer? Is it bold? Is it asking something that you surely can't do? Only God can do it? You know, most of the time when we make prayers, we back it up by, well, God, if you're too busy today, I'll go ahead and take care of that one. And that's how we see the prayer time. It's the way it is. Do we trust him completely? That God's going to do what God knows to do. Are you thinking you're going to change his mind? I'm thinking that God's going to do what he wants to do. But I know this, God does hear, and God does answer our petition. So it's time that we quit asking in such a small way, but in a way that he can do it. The other reason why I think that we don't always hear it, we don't know God's timing. We don't know what God is thinking and what it's going to happen. We want it right now. We expect it to be done right away. But God always has a perfect timing. I mean, he does. He always has a perfect timing. You look down through verses number 6 through 12, and it comes down. Now, let's follow on with that because it's a incredibly funny story, if you ask me. I mean, I enjoy it. In verse 8, he says, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. I wonder how long that took him. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by an angel. Could you imagine? Anybody ever sleepwalk? I haven't done it in recent years, but I used to do it all the time. But here's Peter. He's thinking that this has got to be a dream. I mean, I'm dreaming this. But he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Hello, are you awake? He walked past 16 guards through two passageways and to an iron gate, and all of a sudden it just opens for him. I mean, you know, I'm sure that he had a key. I'm sure he was just like MacGyver. And he knew how to open that thing without any problem at all. No, it just opened of itself. I mean, boop, there it is. And they go through a street to another street. And Simon Peter's going, where am I? What am I? Could it be? And all of a sudden, the angel's gone. So what does he do? It gets even better. What happens after that? It said, after all the things that took place right there. So it opened unto him according to the will. And when Peter was come to himself, you ever come to yourself? I hope so. And now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent an angel, hello, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. They were praying with expectation, the Jews were. They were expecting to see another one bite the dust. And the church was praying without expectation. But God decided that the prayer should be answered anyway. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're having a prayer meeting over Simon Peter. They're praying that God will give him strength to endure the death that you're about to get and all the other things. I mean, what a great picture. I mean, what to me is, this would be a great one for a comic book strip because it's so wonderful. Here he is. He's been sound asleep. He's trusting everything to God's hands. He's not worried about it. He's snoozing. I mean, it's just what he has. He's got all the security in the world. It's all going to take place. Death had no power over him because Christ lived in him. He wasn't afraid. He was going to die. Okay, he was going to die. He had lived a full life already. Pentecost had already come. He had great power. The Holy Spirit walked in his life. All these things were doing. He had the infilling of that Spirit. What was he worried about? He wasn't worried about anything. I bet he's probably said, man, I finally get to see heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus all over again. This is going to be exactly what's going to take place. But then the reality is, oh, I'm not going to die. I got to go over here and tell somebody about what took place. Yeah, it's almost like he was disappointed. But I guess that would be when you're about half awake, those things would happen. Chains fell off. That was the first thing that you looked at right there. He gets past the guard post. The gate opens automatically. Finally, in verse 11, as we said, he comes to himself. I mean, that's always a good thing that you're praying and that you come to yourself. The expectation was, well, he may make it out. He may not make it out, but we're going to pray this anyway. Look on down here. Verse 12, he said, I got to show up and I'm going to go to the place I know they're going to be. Where was that? That was at John Mark's mama's house. Okay? So they're going over to the place. That was where the prayer, that's where the upper room is. That's where they had the upper room experience, right there. He said, I think I better share this with somebody. Before I go and hide, I want to share it with somebody. So this is also Barnabas' aunt. It's a step cousin to a third person. Never mind. Are you listening? I hope you're listening to him. He begins to do, on verse 13, it says, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came and hearkened, named Rhoda. Now, I don't know who Rhoda was. I have no idea who Rhoda was. But verse 14 says she knew Peter's voice. He's knocking on the door. Can you imagine? You've escaped from prison. Do you think somebody's looking for you? I would think so. He's no longer chained to those two guards, one on each side with two chains. And he's out there in the middle of the street going, yo, anybody home? Yeah. What are they doing? They're being religious. They're praying. It was a very dignified time. They were in there praying. Rhoda goes to see who's beating on the door. She hears Peter's voice as he's knocking on the door. He said, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. I guess she was ticked off that they didn't answer the prayer the way she wanted it. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. I love verse 15. And they said to him, you're crazy. Well, that's kind of a loose translation. Thou art mad. If you're a King James one, you're just mad. But she constantly affirmed. In other words, she said it over and over and over again. People, would you listen to me? The dude is standing at the door, beating on the door, warning in. It is Peter. Then they said, it's his angel. Well, they'd already got him killed, and now his angel is showing up. But verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were what? Astonished. Wow, what are you doing here? We're in the middle of prayer meeting. We don't have time for this. What do you mean knocking on the door? You're interrupting us. We're trying to pray for you right here. What did they do? They expected the worst, but they found out God was bigger than what they prayed for. They were expecting to see that he was going to be, and the little girl, bless her heart, Rhoda's over, she's crazy. I mean, she's beside herself. And how dare she interrupt prayer meeting? What they wanted was not what God provided. What God provided was far beyond, even if Peter's still knocking on the door. And even if they're not answering it, that's what it is. Finally, the door gets opened. Finally, they get to see that the very presence of God released Simon Peter from that jail, and he was standing there in front of them. And he's saying to them, I want to tell you something. Now, have you ever been around a bunch of church members back here in the fellowship hall? Yes, you have. What do I have to do to get your attention? What do I do? I don't say, hey, guys, we're going to pray. Well, how far would that go? Nowhere. I have to whistle real loud to get your attention, to say we need to pray. I would think that Simon Peter's going, hey, I got to tell you what happened. I mean, as if it didn't happen to him, why wouldn't he tell us the story? And so he begins the story, but he tells him, you got to shut up long enough to hear what I got to say. Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret, I know that's not in there, but that's my version of it. He's saying, hey, church, are you listening? This is what happened to me. And he recounts everything that took place. Do you see that God, how he provides in ways that are far beyond our estimation? You know the gift that you can offer the Lord? It's a gift that you can give to him. It's one that all you have to do is listen to his answer. Yeah, you need to pray, but can you just stop long enough with the babbling and listen? Maybe God's trying to tell you, I heard your prayer, and I'm going to answer it. Maybe you need to pray with more confidence that God is going to take care of it. That's called trust. That's built upon the fact that you've already seen him come through over and over and over again. Does he not want the best for us? That's what he wants. Does he not want to see the very presence of himself walking in us? That's what he wants. But he wants us to stop for a moment and see it from his standpoint, from his eyes, and realize that what he wants to do, I want to give it to you if you'll just be quiet long enough and let me do that. Well, they finally listened to what he said. You know that God answers all your prayers? He does. Every one. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes not right now. You know, that's, we use the way. But delay is an answer. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to do that. He just simply said, in my timing. Now, I know we think it ought to be right away, but it doesn't happen that way. He just doesn't do that. All he wants is us to look at him and trust him and believe in what he's going to do. Sometimes God gives us a little portion of it. You ever notice that? It's just a little bit. It's not the full answer to the prayer, but it's a little bit of it right there. Why does he do that? To encourage our hearts. That's why he gives it to us. So, so you'll keep praying. So you know that God's listening because he's answered some part of it. And what does he want me to do now? He wants me to accept that he knows best and that he will implement the very answer to that prayer. But I think sometimes we're so intent on praying, but we're not intent of listening. We can't hear him. We don't know what he's saying. Why is that? Because we're doing what we do best. That's what Terrence says every Sunday, does he not? Do what you do best. Shake hands, hug necks, howdy rowdy, all the other good stuff. You know, that's what we do best. But what is God saying? Quit all your talking and listen. Somebody's still knocking at your door. Are you going to open the door and let him in? Or is he going to have to beat on the door and continue to beat on the door? Answer the knock. Listen to what he has to say. And it comes right down to this. Hey, church, are you listening? God's speaking, but are we listening? I can never fault you for not praying. And I couldn't fault you. I can't fault you for anything because I'm very, got tons of faults myself. But I can say that if you're like me, sometimes there's a lot of prayer, but there's not a lot of listening. God will answer our prayers. He is faithful to do that. And he wants to hear it exactly how you see it. How you see it will not override his sovereignty. We're human. He's divine. But he wants to hear how you see it. So the next time that you get a prayer request, pray it. Just pray. Tell God, this is what I think it ought to happen. And then let God be God. Tell him how you feel about it. He already knows, but he wants to hear you say it. And then let him answer it the way that he chooses to answer it. All we got to do is maybe not crank up the prayer time as much as the listening time. Because there's nothing like having somebody that can listen to every need we have. How about this? Let's pray.